Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the Church.
Hi, welcome to Tech Savvy on the Mormon Channel, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Elisa Sharton. And today we're talking about relationships in blogging. And my guests are Heather Johnson and Chris Kendrick. Heather is an adjunct professor at BYU, and she also has a blog called Family Volley, where she shares fun ideas of things that she can do with her family. And she also has a book called...
It's called Family Fun Fridays.
And what is in the book?
It's full of activities and games for families with kids of all ages. So it doesn't matter if you have small children or even teenagers, you know, grown, married, that type of thing. There's great activities that families can participate in.
Fantastic. And Christopher is an actor. Yes. And a blogger with his wife, or vlogger. You vlog with her on Fridays. And your wife was going to join us. However, she had a beautiful baby on Thursday.
Yeah. Yep. So
brand new. She's how old now?
She is 5 days old.
All right. So you're going to come and speak for both you and CJ.
Yeah. And for the new baby.
And share us your perspective of blogging and how it's affected your relationship with Courtney. How has it affected your relationship with Courtney?
Well, that's a good question. It's been long enough now that it's not a new thing. You know, it is life now. So, but it's interesting in that it's not just our journal, but it is a major way of, you know, it's one of the biggest ways that we make our living right now as well. So, I don't know, for people who are thinking of starting a blog and are afraid to because they have, you know, tech fear or whatever, I would say, don't be afraid. I think it's definitely always been a plus. I don't know. I don't know if we look back, I think a lot about the history of when she first started writing and what she was writing about and how that's evolved into what she's writing about now. And I think for me as a husband, it took me a while to, I don't want to say take her seriously, but I definitely take her very seriously as a writer now. Whereas before, a lot of people look at blogging as, you know, as a journal, which it definitely is. But I think it adds just a great element to our family in that it is a journal. But she's also very serious about the things that she writes.
When did it change? What changed?
There was a post, and I could tell you the concept around it. I can't remember the specific title. She wrote a post about the differences between us when we come into life, when we're born, and as we live our lives, and when we die. And I really realized in that moment that she was one of those writers that wrote things the way that I thought them in my head. I don't know if you've ever had that experience.
Yeah.
And I thought I knew that she had a pretty decent sized following, but I thought if she's doing that for anyone else out there, that's something very worthwhile, and that's just a talent and a gift. And I was the one who was the English major in college. I was the one who was supposed to be the writer and, you know, the grammaticist and all of those things. And at that point, she definitely markedly surpassed anything that I had ever done, especially just as a clear, strong voice. So when you ask, you know, how it's affected our family, it is now part of everything that a lot of what we do. I take a lot of pictures for it, and we do the vlogs on Thursday nights. But still, the basis of it is her writing, and that's what's always been the thing that has made me take her seriously.
I loved in your bio it said that Christopher loved C. Jane so much that he married her twice.
Yeah. Yes, we eloped to Vegas before we actually went to the temple, which was a wonderful, unique, memorable, and
I remember she wrote that on her blog, and I thought that was great.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah, we always say that there is a very specific way in which I had to be married, and that was right in line with how things had to happen.
How has blogging affected your life, Heather?
Oh, you know, as a mother, especially with small children, it has a huge effect simply because it takes time. And so one of the first things I had to learn to do, first I felt very strongly I needed to start blogging. There's a lot of great things that I have an opportunity to teach students, and I felt really strongly for almost a year, to the point where I'd go to bed at night and couldn't sleep because it was that prompting, this needs to be done, this needs to be done. So I knew first it was very important, and I knew the Lord would provide a way for me to do it, but I also knew that first and foremost came my family. And so I think that's been the biggest adjustment, is finding time to do something like that. You know, there's so many demands on my time already that are all so worthwhile and good. But this was one more good thing that I had to work in somehow. Mm-hmm. And that was the biggest challenge, was finding the time to do it.
And how have you both found the balance, even with the your blogs and your families and your husband or your wife? How do you find that balance so that everybody gets that little part of your time?
We've had to schedule. Mm-hmm. I left my full-time job to be home more. It was a sacrifice that we made so that I could be home more. And so we schedule. And depending on how her day is going and what she needs to do, I will take the kids and she will be sequestered. She goes and we don't bother her. I take care of everything, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I will get my time to do my work or to whatever it is. But we've had to be very serious and treat it as though it is something real and something, you know, just like a normal full-time job.
Mm-hmm. And how do you balance that?
I know for us, you know, it's different. It's how you balance your marriage or, you know, my role each day as a mother. And those are kind of two very different, you know, topics. But I know the first effect it started to have was on my relationship with my husband, simply because, you know, once the kids were down, my first thought was I got to blog, I got to write something or do something. And he would kind of look at me like, well, wait, this is when we chatted or this is when we talked. And so the first thing I had to do is we had to really quickly address that. And I had to make sure that it didn't cut into the time that we'd already worked so hard to set aside for he and I at the end of each day. And so we do small things. Again, we keep a schedule, or I do, so I know that it's not affecting that. We work really hard to always go to bed at the same time every mm-hmm. night, which is a really big one. We've even had, you know, prophets mention the importance of...
You're taught as a missionary.
...of pillow talk and...
To go to bed at the same time.
Going to bed at the same time. And that makes a huge difference. You kind of put yourself on those schedules. We work really hard to make sure we have a date each week so mm-hmm. that we're always reconnecting with one another.
Yep.
Because otherwise, it starts to consume any free time I have. I think, well, you can wait. I've got to finish this. But he can't. He doesn't need to. And so I've prayerfully had to find ways to do that.
I want to show a clip here from one of our Mormon Message videos that really illustrates poignantly what we're talking about here and the balance. Let's watch that.
When we face such temptations in our time, we must declare, I will give place no more for the enemy of my soul. If we want it dearly and deeply enough, that enemy can and will be rebuked by the redeeming power of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That was so powerful for me the first time I saw that. I saw the man with his phone, and I was like, who am I? Which one am I? And what do I need to do to align myself? Because it's so easy to think I'm multitasking. I'm over here answering my email and playing Candyland at the same time. But it's not. So that balance is so tricky. And I think we need to figure out, or at least let's discuss some ways that we can, we've talked a little bit about it, but what else can we do to find that balance so we can do the things we love that provide a income for you, but that are joyful for some of the other people? And it might not just be blogging. It might be photography or fishing or things that take you away from your family. How do you find that balance? What do you think, Heather?
Well, I think what you touched on, the multitasking, is especially for mothers, for women, is the first place we can start. We think that by multitasking, we're actually stronger mothers and stronger wives, but really we're doing a disservice to everything we're trying to multitask. And we really don't get to experience anything we're doing. We don't enjoy Candyland or even the time with our children because we're trying to check our emails or write the post or answer the phone call. And so if we can first push the multitasking out of our minds, instead of thinking, how much can I do at the same time? Let's think, right now, my 4-year-old wants to play this game. Let's play. Get down and play and realize that if we are filling our lives with the right things, there will then be time for us to do everything else. And the Lord will provide that. He will walk with us, you know, in technology just like he will anywhere else if it's where we should direct our lives. But multitasking, it will hurt our relationships. So that's a good place to start.
Mm. I agree with that, absolutely. Yeah. How has technology benefited your family beyond just as an income?
Well, I think in the same ways that a lot of people think about it, it makes things quicker, it makes things easier, it makes things more accessible. I don't know how many times a day that we are talking about a certain something or a certain place or, you know, and you've got maps, you've got encyclopedias, you've got, you know, opinion on about everything that you could want. I think it's unique in that a lot of childhood movies that I would never, ever be able to find, and it's hard to find good things, I think, these days. You spend a few seconds online, and it's either on YouTube or it's someplace that you can buy it to share with kids. So it's kind of like saying it's a good, better, best thing. You have to choose the best. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of those challenges that maybe our parents had, but not in the unique way that we do. And so that's what I think about a lot every day is just good, better, best. Because I could hand my 3-year-old the iPad and he would be good.
He would be happy.
For a long time. But that's not quite the best.
That's not the best.
Yeah.
So what advice would you have for families that are maybe one spouse is heavily involved with technology and the other spouse is kind of like, that's not my thing. What would be some tips that you would have?
I think one thing we can do is first explain. Oftentimes it's the woman who's involved in a lot of this, in the blogging, in the industry we're kind of discussing here. And at first, I don't think husbands understand. I don't know if they understand the network that we begin to create, the support system that stands behind what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know how you felt, but at first, I know my husband kind of would say, what are you doing? What is all of this? And once I started to explain to him, then he could see the good it was doing or the benefits, that were coming from it, not just for me, but maybe for other people that it was touching or helping. But I had to explain to him first. And once he understood that, then he was on board. Then he could see, I understand this now. And when you use that vocabulary with blogging, I understand what you're talking about. I'm not in the dark anymore. So even just educating one another, I think, helps. That can start to help.
For me, I know in my marriage, it was really important that my husband felt like he was a priority. So I tried really hard to never be on the computer when he was at home. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because, I can get up 2 hours earlier in the morning and get a ton of stuff done if I can spend that 2 hours at night at home connecting with him. Because I think it's important that on a daily basis we connect with our spouses, but connect with our kids, too, in a personal way. What advice do you have?
Well, on the male counterpart, the kind of the other side, I think it's important for me. I do wish that I had earlier come to that little sort of epiphanic thing that I had with that singular post that she wrote. I wish that I had taken a little more seriously a little earlier and just spent some time looking at the things, because I always read her posts, but I compartmentalized it with which I think males do particularly well. I just compartmentalized it thinking, this is for those people. This is for her friends or for the other people that read her blog. And as it grew, the readers that she has wherever. So I don't know how to sum that up to just maybe make a little sacrifice of your own to any husbands out there and just spend a second getting to know why it's so important to not only the people out there that are reading or the family or whoever it may be, but to your wife, why there is such a drive to record things or to show things or to share things or to teach things or whatever.
And so in your analysis of that, what was the conclusion that you came to for you personally?
That there are things that my wife is always right, which is something I think.
And that's on tape.
A lot of us could learn. And so I think I've learned to trust a little bit better that the things that she does are not frivolous. They're important. There's usually a very good reason behind the things that she chooses to spend her time doing. And I wish I had come to that realization a little bit earlier. She's got a much better sense about people and things than I ever have. And so, I don't know, she's just a very concentrated sort of importance with the things that she does.
Do you think that she took to heart, there's a quote, Heather, you and I were talking about choose something.
From Elder Ballard. He talks about the importance, and he's speaking to mothers, but he then goes on to say this applies to all of us. And he says that we all need to find one or two things in our life that enrich our life and make time for them. But there's some very key words there, right, that we were discussing. The first is enrich. And so he says we all need something, you know, whether it is blogging or social media or photography or football or, you know, whatever it is that we love, we need those things. But if they're not first and foremost enriching our life, then we need to make different decisions. And so when we get into social media, I think we can, or blogging or anything technology, we can first say, is this enriching my life? Is this making me a better mother, a better father, a better husband, a better wife? If it is, then by all means, the Lord will continue to provide ways to be engaged in that. But if it's not, we might need to step back and and think, is this helping me? Is this enriching?
That's really profound.
That's great.
That's really profound. I really like that. Is it enriching my life? Do you think that that's how your wife, since you're speaking for her?
Completely. And I think I always viewed whatever it was that she was doing through my eyes. And for me, the internet was maybe not first and foremost an enriching experience. It was a source of information or entertainment or distraction a lot of times is what it was for me. And so I think through that filter, I was not seeing what it was that she was doing. And she's definitely, and it's a hard thing, I think, to spend as much time in a, you know, in that pool of people that you do, either Twitter or Facebook or, you know, Instagram or Pinterest or any of anything that's going on now. I think it's hard to make sure that enrichment, if that's our word, is what's happening.
Well, and I think it's interesting because I think so many people think, oh, I don't do technology because they view it as being Facebook or Twitter or blogging. But technology is more than just that. I mean, it's the emails that you send to each other or, you know, watching YouTube with your kids on the internet. I mean, there's so many ways that technology enriches our life. And so choosing the best part of it is what we need to do. And finding that balance, striking a balance between everything. Because it's very easy to get sucked in. I call it the black hole of the internet. It's super easy to get sucked in. So how do you find a balance? You said schedule. But so for people that maybe aren't as heavily involved in technology or the blogging, what are some other ways that they could have some balance?
I know routine helps for us, obviously, so that we've established, you know, a routine. Even not over-scheduling, I know, is a really important one for us to keep things minimal. If you're going to start adding more things to your life and it happens to be technology, usually means we have to take something out on the other end. And so we're back to our good, better, best. We're back to those concepts.
I like the idea of filling our lives with good things, so that we don't have time to waste, so that we're doing things that are very important and that Heavenly Father really will provide a way for us to do the things that He wants us to do. I know you've talked about feeling very strongly about starting your blog.
I did.
Did your wife have those same feelings about starting her blog? Did she feel like she was being prompted?
I think she did. I think she feels it stronger now to continue to do. I think she's found a voice and found a place that she feels that she's compelled and prompted and inspired to do. Originally, it was a source of outlet for her. We were going through a really rough period of infertility, and it was a really tough thing for her. And through just putting it there and putting it out there, I think it was just a release for her. And it's evolved several times since then. But yeah, definitely. Definitely a great outlet for her. And for people who, again, she's spoken at several conferences in different places, and a lot of people will say, I have this fear of, and some people say, I'm afraid that it will become a distraction.
Yeah.
And it's kind of one of those things, if you never try, there's never even the opportunity for success, I think. And it's just been a wonderful thing for us. And we've had to, you know, put safeguards and schedule a lot of what you just mentioned, but.
How about like safety and that? I mean, you're living your life publicly now.
Yeah.
So what kind of boundaries do you have with that?
As far as like names and addresses
everything.
And things like that?
Is there anything that is off limits that you say, honey, absolutely not. That is not going on my blog.
You know, and we may be unique, but anything that is sacred that we wouldn't necessarily share with anyone who's not very close to us, she won't put on the blog. Mm-hmm. Pretty much anything else.
Free game. Goes.
we started out, a lot of people start out with nicknames. I've got a nickname. Our oldest son's got a nickname. And she has since said that she wishes that she never did that. Mm-hmm. Our other two children, we just use their name. Mm-hmm. We don't take pictures of the front of our house, but we're not necessarily averse to the front of our house being in pictures, if that makes sense. It seems to be a cliche these days, but we try not to live in fear of what could happen. We hope for good
things. You try to live in the world, but not of the world. That's kind of hard.
Yeah.
It's a hard balance to strike.
Well, and I think you quickly come to know those things. I know for my husband, I know exactly what he would not want me to write or wouldn't become. I mean, there's no question. And in fact, I remember very distinctly, I'd only been blogging just a couple months, and I put a picture on one of the posts, and it was just of our son crawling down the hall to the bathtub. He was, 10 months old, just learning to crawl, and you could just barely kind of see the back of him, just kind of his little bottom there. And my husband looked at it and said, I'm not okay with that, even though it was a very hazy, and it fit perfect with what the post, the parenting post was about. But it taught me a lot that day to know where his boundaries were. They were a little different than mine. And that was blurry enough and far enough with a cute enough, small enough little baby that, it was less than you see on like a diaper commercial. But I knew then, okay, his boundaries, they lie here. And I need to make sure I watch those boundaries
and respect
for
him
and respect them for him. And so we changed it. And it taught me a lot that day about how he felt even about those things.
How does your husband feel about your blogging?
He's very supportive.
But was he at the beginning?
He was always supportive, but he didn't quite understand it at first. And so we worked through that a little, why I was doing it. And I think I needed to realize that too, why I was doing it. Mm-hmm. And it changes a lot, just like you mentioned with CJ. And it's evolving. Why am I doing it now? Why am I still doing it? Why am I still doing it? Because it is time consuming. We talked through those things. We knew our boundaries. And as soon as I didn't let it become a distraction from our time together, he's always been supportive. But we did. We had to do that. I was posting every single day. So every night, that's where I spent my time until I looked over at him one night and he was like, this isn't so cool anymore. And I realized, and so I'm like you, I get up early each morning that I need to do something and spend a little time of my own and fit it in there. So it doesn't necessarily affect him, our time together, or the time I have with our kids during the day,
right?
Because it can take over there too.
Yeah. The one thing I'm noticing and I'm feeling as I'm hearing you talk, Chup, no, that's not how you say it.
Choup.
Choup. What is that? What is that?
Well,
that's your nickname on C. Jane's blog, but where did that come from?
It comes from Chupacabra, and most people know what that is, but not because I'm a Mexican werewolf, but... but because we can't remember, it's shown up in commercials and TV shows, and I was just saying it. I said it like all day. Uh-huh. I will sometimes do that, which was kind of annoying her. And so
she started calling.
I just thought it was a cool sound, Chupacabra. Yeah, I was saying it like that, and so it stuck.
It stuck. My husband's nickname on my blog is Jefe. So,
well, there you go.
Boss man. But the thing I'm noticing between the two of you is your sensitivity towards your spouse and the respect that you have to maintain that with him, but the respect that you have towards your wife in honoring this thing that she wants to do, this one thing that she's chosen to enrich her life. I feel that respect and love that you have towards one another, because it has to be a give and take with regards to those things. And I kind of want to talk about now how all of these things can, all of our hobbies, we can move just beyond blogging and how they can enrich your lives. Like the things, how is she with the hobbies that you've chosen to have in your life?
It depends on the hobby. The photography, she loves.
Because it enriches her blog.
Because it enriches her blog. It's a great way to record our children.
Your family.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a way to share with, mm-hmm. It's, and I love photography as well. Other hobbies that I have, I love remote control things, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure the enrichment quotient that
is there.
And time spent with my boy, he's very mechanical like I was, and that's part of what I really enjoy with it. So, again, good, better, best. When I can tell that I'm spending time with him, quality time with him, then of course she can tell that too. When I'm doing it just because it's something that I really get a little obsessive about, and I want to. Then, that's not quite on the best end of things.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Hen?
Well, we're not all going to like the same things. We get married and we hope that there's and look for a lot of similarities. But it doesn't mean we're going to love everything our spouse does, and vice versa, right? They're going to look at things we do and think, why would you spend your time? And we're going to look back at them and think, why would you spend your time doing that? But I think it comes back to recognizing that there is, for a marriage to be successful or a family, it's based on selflessness and recognizing, just like he respects that this is how I like to spend my time, I respect that that is how he wants to spend his time. And so we work with that and say, well, hopefully he understands the joy I receive. You know, I see that you are, you know, there's joy for you in watching that or doing that also.
Well, and you don't have to necessarily participate in it, but you could be there at the finish line.
You know, and there's great research that supports that. There's great research that looks at couples, married couples, that like very different things. And usually that could hurt a marriage. But we found that even engaging in those individual activities, such as a runner, which is what the research is based on, if I love to run and my husband doesn't, as long as he supports me, it's not going to hurt our marriage in ways like you mentioned, coming to the races and waiting at the finish line, buying the new running shoes for Christmas that I've had my eye on because I love the hobby of running. And so as long as there's support, your marriage will stay strong. It can stay strong. Mm-hmm. It's just when you stop supporting one another in those ventures that then you start to run into trouble.
So would you say overall, for both of you, blogging or social media and technology has enriched your marriage?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's still, I'm just reminded as we're sitting here speaking, it's not like we've arrived at our solution. It's still something that we think about every day. And sometimes I have to remind Courtney to put her phone down at dinner. And sometimes she reminds me. It used to be always me, you know. So, but generally and largely, absolutely, I think this is one of those things that, again, our parents didn't necessarily have, that for good or for evil, you know, we're trying to make it for good. And I think it has been.
And to make it work in your life and enrich your life in ways that it wasn't available before.
And it's been the greatest blessing. You know, we try very hard every day to pray and be receptive to inspiration and revelation and in the way that we know that we should be. And this is where we are. This is what we're doing. And we feel that in a way that sometimes feels odd to say. I know that people feel odd saying that being a blogger is a calling, or using Twitter or, you know, whatever it may be for good is an honorable, is a worthwhile, a worthy thing. But we absolutely say that with confidence.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because Heather and I talked about how we each had felt very prompted to start our blogs, her blog and my blog, and people would go, what? Why? Yeah. Like, people think of promptings as being, get out of the road, a train's going to come and hit you.
Exactly.
But, you know, why would Heavenly Father prompt you to start a blog? But yet, I know that I felt that prompting and that I received it. And so when you act on those promptings, Heavenly Father knows you're obedient and He gives you more. And so then you are given a charge to then be prayerful, but making sure that our marriages are fed and nourished so that this doesn't overtake our marriages.
What we're doing. Well, and the Lord, He promises us He will be in the details of our lives. And this is a detail, no matter how big or small, He will lead and guide, you know, how we use technology, just like He will lead and guide us in parenting, in everything else. But we have to go to Him, and we will very quickly see that He will prompt, He will direct, He will refine, you know, what it is we're writing or even tweeting about or doing. And He'll also provide ways for us to balance, as long as we put Him first. Mm-hmm. And then the other things, they will naturally fall into place, and He'll help us do that.
If we keep
Him
first.
I know we've seen that. Yeah.
Yes, I really believe that. We could talk for hours about this subject, I think, and about relationships and even just online relationships with people versus in real life relationships and how those feel. And maybe we'll have to do that another time. But I'm so grateful that you guys were willing to come and be a part of this show today. And thank you very much. And thank you for joining us today on Tech Savvy on the Mormon Channel, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. If you go to mormonchannel.org and click on Tech Savvy, you can download this podcast and many others. Thanks, and see you next time.